Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Get the most out of Mass by truly understanding the reading. In the Word of the Lord series, John Bergsma makes the scriptures come to life. Get your copy of Reflections for Cycle C this new liturgical year. Visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road to learn more.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville. Welcome to this first week of liturgical year 2022. Isn't this fantastic? We're on Wednesday of the first week of Advent today and full of excitement for a new year. And as you know, it is traditional during the season of Advent to read from the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel by the church fathers and theologians because Isaiah spoke so much about the coming Messiah and the Messianic age. In our contemporary lectionary on the three-year cycle that we received from Vatican II, we actually read Isaiah more than the Gospel of Mark. It's one of those very few Old Testament books that can actually rival a gospel for how much it's read in our lectionary. Actually, there's only two that can rival a gospel, and that's Psalms and Isaiah. But anyway, Isaiah is a fantastic book, and we read many prophecies of the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah during Advent. Today we have Isaiah 25. I'm going to read a bit of our reading here, 25, 6 through 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. Okay, the mountain being described here, this is Zion, which was the navel of the people of God, really the heart of God's people, the city of Jerusalem. It is fulfilled in the church in this rich banquet that's being described here is an image of the Eucharist, this juicy, rich food, pure choice wines. This is the spiritual nature of our Lord giving his body and blood, which is the juiciest, richest food we could possibly have because it nourishes our spirit for eternal life. And Isaiah speaks of the veil of death being destroyed from over the nations. And of course, the Eucharist is the meal that destroys death because those who eat it can live forever. As Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live forever, and I shall raise him up at the last day, as we think of John 6. So we have a beautiful prophecy here in Isaiah 25 of the coming of our Lord, and especially of the Eucharistic banquet. And then when we move to the gospel, we see an image or type of that banquet in the feeding of the 4,000. This is not the feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000 from Matthew 15, 29 through 37. Let's read a bit of it. Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Brothers and sisters, let me just make a few comments here. This is a different event from the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding of the 5,000 takes place in Jewish territory, and it's full of Jewish symbolism, like the 12 baskets full being left over, which is symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. But this was a different miraculous feeding that our Lord performed during his life. This is the feeding of the 4,000, And it takes place in Gentile territory, mostly with Gentile people. And that's why it says they glorified the God of Israel when they saw all the miracles Jesus was performing. That's a strange thing to say about Israelites themselves. What other God would they glorify after all? But you see, these people are Gentiles, non-Jews, and by watching Jesus' miracles, they come to glorify his God, the God of Israel, because they perceive him correctly to be an Israelite teacher, a Jewish rabbi. So let's move on here. Oh, one other thing I should say about this is the curing of the lame, the blind, the mute, etc. These are miracles that were prophesied in Isaiah 35. Look it up. Look up Isaiah 35 and glance through it, and you'll see that what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 15 is quite directly and explicitly fulfilling Isaiah's prophecies of what would happen in the age of the Messiah. Then Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd. They have been with me for 3 days. They have nothing to eat. Don't want to send them away empty and hungry." Disciples said, "Where can we get enough bread?" Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." Okay, so this is different. Remember, at the feeding of the 5,000, there's five loaves and two fish. Here there are seven loaves, okay? So different event again. Now, what is the significance of the number seven? It is the number of covenant, okay? In Hebrew, when you make a covenant, you seven yourself. You perform a ritual act seven times to solemnize the covenant. And that sevenfold ritual that you perform was a ritual oath, because a covenant is the extension of kinship by oath. So the seven loaves here, that is a covenantal sign. Seven is the number of covenant. And Jesus' multiplication of these loaves and giving it to all these Gentile people is a sign of himself being given as a covenant to all the nations, to all the Gentiles. Jesus' body and blood, his very self, is God's covenant with the whole world. A covenant is a family bond. All right, and if you look up in, I believe it's Isaiah 42:6 and 49:8, both of those verses predict the servant of the Lord being given as a covenant to the people, and this foreshadows the Eucharist. So we have beautiful Eucharistic symbolism here, a little bit different than the feeding of the 5,000. The Eucharistic symbolism here is Jesus being transformed into the Eucharistic bread to be given to all the nations. Okay, all Gentiles, the Dutch, the Germans, the French, the Chinese, Africans, South Americans, every race and nationality everywhere can come and be part of the mystical body of Christ. So today, let's give thanks for Jesus, who has come and fulfilled the prophet Isaiah, given himself as a covenant to all the nations, and we experience him through the Eucharist, and that one of those final lines says, "They all ate and were satisfied." Brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is the bread that satisfies. There we experience Jesus. There we experience all the fulfillment of the desires of our heart for love, for acceptance, for God's presence, for consolation, for comfort. Let's take all our needs today and take them to Jesus in the Eucharist as we commune at Mass today and give thanks to him that he is so close to us in this sacrament. This has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, wishing you a happy and holy Wednesday of the first week of Advent.
Letters from Home is a production of the St. Paul Center. Our commentators include Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Mr. Rob Corzine, and Dr. James Merrick. Our production team includes producer and technical director Rory Mitrick and sound engineer Joseph Palmer. Subscribe and rate Letters from Home wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-transforming encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, including Dr. Han's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Han's podcast, Beloved and Blessed, visit stpaulcenter.com.